This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Grace Marie Turner. She's president of the Galen Institute, one of the leading healthcare policy organizations in the country. We want to get her analysis on what many see as a major announcement by President Obama today, apparently and supposedly allowing states greater flexibility to opt out of some of the more demanding components of his healthcare reform law, which was passed last year. Grace Marie has been a longtime critic of this legislation and joins us now to explain what exactly this means. And Grace Marie, it's always great to have you with us.
Hello, Greg. Nice to be with you.
More flexibility sounds like a good plan. Opting out sounds like a good thing if you're concerned about these provisions and the mandates they make on your state. So is this good news, or is this a little bit of careful packaging?
You know, there's just so the whole thing got passed with words that did not have anything to do with the substance of the legislation. And now they're trying to paper over what this law really is going to do with more talk. We've heard it over and over. Secretary Sebelius saying that the states, we're going to work with you to give you flexibility on Medicaid. They basically said all she's telling us to do is jump in a lake. She's really not giving us flexibility. And when you look at the White House fact sheet today about what flexibility the states have, they still have to provide coverage that's the same coverage that Washington mandates, make sure that they are doing the same covering as many people. They have very limited flexibility. They still have to meet all of Washington's rules and regulations. They just have a little more flexibility in that first 3 years between 2014 and 2017 in how they do it. It is really flexibility, truly in name only.
Hmm. Grace Marie, does this 3-year difference make any difference, in your opinion, 2014, 2017?
Really doesn't. The legislation said that states have to set up this big, huge infrastructure to deliver all the subsidies, to expand their Medicaid programs, and then if they want to, in 2017, they can redo it and come and set up a whole new infrastructure. Well, no state's going to do that. And so Senator Ron Wyden, a Democrat from Oregon, and Senator Scott Brown of Massachusetts teamed up to develop legislation that would basically say that if states want more flexibility, they would be able to start their new plans in 2014 rather than in 2017. But it doesn't say that they have any flexibility in meeting the goals or in how much it's going to cost them or in what the benefits are going to be that have to be covered under the new federal law. It's only saying that you can go about differently meeting Washington's tests a little sooner than you otherwise would have. So, I mean, I hope the governors aren't thinking that they've gotten anything out of this, because I certainly don't see it.
We're talking with Grace Marie Turner of the Galen Institute. And Grace Marie, I just saw a report from Politico I'm going to quote here now, which goes a little bit towards what you were saying, and I want to get your analysis on what this report suggests. We talked about before, the administration's trying to play what the president told the governors today as the most significant change since the law was enacted and a potential gesture toward critics. And quote, but a source on the White House conference call with liberal allies this morning says the administration is presenting it to Democrats as an opportunity to offer more expansive health care plans than the one Congress has passed. Health care advisors stressed on the off-record call that the rule change would allow states to implement single-payer health care plans and true government-run plans like Connecticut does and apparently as Vermont wants to. What do you make of all that?
Well, that's absolutely right. They're going to get more flexibility to have more government control, but almost no flexibility to have less government control. They still have to meet all of the same Washington tests. But if they want to do more but spend their own money on it, then they can do that. The only thing that I see in this that gives you any sense of hope is that they realize that the law as it's currently written simply cannot be, is just not going to work. That they are, that Kathleen Sebelius has said to the states, we're going to give you flexibility on meeting the Medicaid test. Not really, but at least recognizing the governors are making a lot of noise and they have a good point. Now they're saying we're going to give you flexibility in how you implement these new health insurance exchanges. The president's already said we made a mistake with this 1099 reporting thing for small businesses, and so he wants to repeal that. The important thing is that they've got to get the House to go along with any changes they make to the law. The president can't just say this. This is in the law. So the Congress is going to have to enact new legislation along the lines of what the president was talking about today, and the House is going to demand a lot more real flexibility if, in fact, they pass it at all. A lot of them up there don't even want to fix it. They just want to repeal the whole thing because they don't think it can be fixed, which I actually agree with.
Grace Marie, the fact that this sort of argument, this sort of explanation coming out from the president, even though it doesn't do anything, does that suggest that he and his team realize they're not winning the PR fight right now?
I think that's exactly right. And they know that they need the governors to make this work. The governors have to start now, basically, setting up the infrastructure for these unbelievably complicated exchanges. These are the exchanges that both provide the vehicle for people to get subsidized health insurance and also to find out their people's household income, how many children they have, what health plans they want, what their health habits are, so they can know how much of a federal subsidy they're going to get. The states have to set up these exchanges, and several of them have said, I'm not going to do it. Florida, Alaska have said, this law has been declared unconstitutional. Why should I start implementing this law? So if the states don't do it, it's going to be much more difficult for the federal government to implement Obamacare. So they're basically saying, we'll basically do anything that you want so that you play along. And the governors, they're in the power seat for the next 2 years, and they're saying they don't want any part of it.
Very, very interesting. Grace Marie, I don't know how carefully you follow this debate state to state, but do you suspect that a lot of these new governors, particularly Republicans, are going to follow that same line as Florida and Alaska?
Well, I think a lot of them, that we're expecting a decision within the next week, probably, with Judge Vinson in Florida. The White House had the audacity to go back to Judge Vinson after his decision declaring the whole law unconstitutional. And this was the court case that had 26 states filing, saying Obamacare is unconstitutional, and he said the states were right. And the federal government's now gone back to him and said, well, did you really mean that we're not supposed to implement this? And Judge Vinson, in his response, said, the government has asked me to, quote, clarify, unquote, his quotes, my decision. And he basically, you know, everybody's expecting he's going to say, I meant what I said. The thing's unconstitutional, and that's a de facto stay on implementation. And many states are going to say, if it's declared unconstitutional, then I can't enforce a law that's declared unconstitutional. This is a big mess. The White House is trying to rescue it, and it's not going to work because 29 state governors at least are on to their game.
Grace Marie, we'll keep following closely, as I know you do every day. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks so much, Greg.
Grace Marie Turner, president of the Galen Institute, one of the leading healthcare policy organizations in the country. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.